Morning. It's good to see y'all today. We are on the last chapter of Acts. Acts 28. If you have said, when is this going to be over? It's today. We'll figure out where we're going next by the Holy Spirit's leading on what we're going to preach through. But Acts 28, it's a little bit of a continuation of last week. Last week in 27, we kind of said, how do you focus on God when things are going crazy all around you? How do you move your focus? Because your focus is going to feed something. And just this thought of how Paul was able to focus on God in the crazy time. But this week, I've kind of brought it to this question that we ask sometime. And it's a real simple question. Have you ever had a why God day where you just say, why God? Do you ever do that? I had one Thursday. I'm the moderator for the associations of churches in the area, and this association is out of College Station, and they reach all the way down to Waller and all the way up to Iola, and they try to have their little quarterly meetings that I'm supposed to moderate at different places, and this time they chose Iola, which is an hour and 5 minutes from here, I found out. So I drove all the way up an hour and 5 minutes to Iola to moderate this meeting of our associational pastors. And on the way back, I did it just right because this last weekend I moved Mom and Dad in, and I had scraped my leg real bad when we were moving, and I had cleaned it and bandaged it, but then I didn't pay any attention, and it was getting infected. So I had a doctor's appointment I needed to get to. So I'm driving back from Iola to get to this doctor's appointment to take care of an infection on my leg when suddenly I look at my phone. I shouldn't have while I was driving, but I noticed that I had missed three calls while I was at the meeting. I had it on vibrate. And so I pull the car over on the side of the road to see if these were like emergency type thing. And one was Rebecca. She was trying to get a hold of me because I don't know if y'all have heard, but her granny died this week. And a lot of the funeral issues were happening, and we were hearing the dates and the time. And so I was kind of working through that, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be late to my doctor's appointment. We need to focus on this. Now, look at the next message, and it's my sister. And she's saying, Blake, the sink at the rent house won't turn off, and water is going everywhere. And I'm thinking, okay, let me make sure that the landlord is going. I can do that while I'm on the side of the road. Now, look, and I got a message from Samantha, who's on the way home and just had some questions about the funeral. So I said, well, I can talk to her while I'm driving so that I can get to the doctor for my infected leg. And suddenly while I'm talking to Samantha, I noticed the low pressure on one of the tire warning came on. And so now I'm thinking about the infected leg. I'm thinking about the funeral. I'm thinking about the water going over at the rent house. I'm thinking about Sam traveling. And I'm going, why is this low pressure thing coming on? So I get into the gas station and to check. And when I check the tire, it's completely flat. You know, I should have known from the bump, 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 bump. I thought it was just a hard road. And so I go, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm right at a gas station where there is an air pump that takes a credit card. You know, you don't have to dig for the change. And so I start filling up the air in my tire, and I watch the pressure go up, 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 down, 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 up, up, down, up, down, up, down. And I'm just kind of going, what? And I see this big old piece of metal out sticking out from my tire, and I'm kind of going, when I pulled over on the side of the road, I must have pulled right onto it. And I'm sitting there going, okay, now, not only do I have an infected leg, the sink going over, the funeral thing, now I've got to change a tire. So, you know, I'm out in the hot, sweaty, you know, just changing a tire. And you know, at that point, I'm going, why, Lord? You know, why, Lord? You know, one thing I can handle, two things I can handle, but when it gets to three and four and it just keeps on going, do you ever have why, Lord, days? You know, Paul was having one here at the end of Acts. As we look at how Paul got here, you know, he had just finished his 2 years of being in house arrest in Caesarea, when suddenly he gets on a boat last week. Y'all remember this. And instead of wintering where he said, hey, we should winter here, everybody said, let's go forward. And what happened that day to Paul is he gets in this huge storm. Not just a huge storm, but a huge storm has thrown him way off course. And finally, they see an island. They're heading for the island. All right, God, you've got this taken care of. But instead of getting to the island, they hit a sand, part of the buildup outside the island, where the ship runs into that, and they're still a little bit away from the shore. And the Bible tells us that not only did they not make it all the way to the shore, but the waves hit so hard the ship starts to crumble. And so he sends other people swimming. At the end of the last chapter, you can picture like 200 soldiers, on pieces of wood floating in during the storm. Boy, isn't that a why, Lord, day? It's, for Paul, he's just trying to get where God told him to go. But all this stuff is happening. And we pick up in the 28th chapter where it says, once safely on shore, we found out the island was called Malta. Now, Malta can mean two different things in the Greek. It can mean safe shelter, or it can mean honey. And so, the kind of thought is it's a really sweet shelter, right? And so they're on Malta, and it says the islanders showed us unusual kindness. Now, if you read in the King James, that word islanders is translated barbarians. So I always had this picture, right, that when Paul got up on this island, that these natives, these islanders, these barbarians, I'm seeing a guy with a bone through his nose, you get that, coming out, Gilligan's Island, they had a bunch of these, crazy island people, but really, if you look at that Greek word, the Greek word is barbar, and barbar is simply anybody that doesn't speak Greek. In fact, it's probably one of those onomatopoeia, I think that's the right way to say it, where the words, the sound of the word bar, 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 it's what they were hearing when people couldn't speak Greek. And so this name, when they say that these barbars came at them, really it's just the people on the island who lived probably in a little village, a little coastal village, came down and they couldn't speak Greek, so they were barbarians, they were barbars, but it's probably not, the savages that I get in my mind. And so when they came down, it says they were unusually kind to us, and they built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and it was cold. So this is probably like Paul and me, where I pulled into the gas station. I say, I may have a flat tire, but at least I've got an air pump there, right? At least I got an air pump. Paul says, I might have just floated on the sea. It might be cold and rainy, but at least I got some of these people building me a fire. So Paul says, this is great. So he jumps in to help gather a pile of brushwood. And as he put it on the fire, here we go, a viper was driven out by the heat. So apparently in these sticks that he gathered, there was one stick that was moving a little bit. And when he threw it on the fire, that snake didn't like that. And so he popped right back at Paul, and it says it attached to his hand. It says a viper driven by the heat. In fact, it's a very strong word here in the Greek. Fastened itself to his hand. So you can't picture it. It wasn't just a little snip. It was that snake hanging from the hand. Now I think that's really, if I was Paul, that's when I would go, why, God? You saved me from the shipwreck. You saved me from floating on the piece of wood. You got a fire started. Why do you have this snake biting me? Why is a very powerful word. I kind of picture why for a Christian is that it's at that last moment when we really want to hold on to God and we really want to trust God. And we have that desire within us to say, God, if you are who you say you are, then I've got one question for you. Why are you doing this? It's a powerful question. It's that question where we're right on the edge, right, of our faith. We're right on the edge. And if God can give us a solid why, then we can set back on solid ground. But if he can't, there's that thought within there in our mind that we're just going to fall off the edge. And we're sitting there going, why? So many times we don't even want to ask the question, why? We just stop there because we're scared. If I ask God why, he might not answer. And I don't want that. I don't want to fall off. So instead, as a Christian, we just kind of stop right there on the edge, not even wanting to ask God why. It's why so many Christians kind of get into this spot where they're not growing, they're not moving, they're not doing anything. They're just hunkered down because they've hit a why moment in their faith and they don't want to even ask it. So what I want to do today is I want to kind of look at what Paul did here. Because somehow or another, Paul was able to push through those why moments. Let's look at that next verse. It says that the viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. 14, when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live. In verse 5, but Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. What did Paul do at that why moment? He just shook it off. So there you go. There's your entire sermon. When you hit a why moment, just shake it off. You know, just rub some dirt in it. You know, just kind of keep, you know, that's kind of what we feel sometimes. But the question is, how was Paul able just to shake off this why moment? Why don't we see Paul complaining? Why don't we see Paul questioning God at this moment? You know, how was Paul able to navigate it? And I think the first thing that I see, that sometimes the answer to why is knowing it's not about you. Sometimes when you're in a why moment in your life, you have to stop and consider, maybe it's not about you. I mean, verse 4, you know, as the snake attaches, what does verse 4 say? When the islanders saw. When the islanders saw. You know, it wasn't that God was particularly being mean to Paul at that moment. It was, there were some native barbar people, right? There was some Maltesian people who needed to see the power of God. And within that moment where Paul just shakes off that snake was where God was able to allow those islanders to see his power. Now, is that fair for Paul? Is it fair for Paul to have to go through a snake bite so someone else can see the power of God? Yeah, it is. It is okay. And sometimes it's okay for us too. That when we're in why moments, maybe it doesn't have anything to do with us. Maybe it's the people around us that need to see God and how we handle it. And do we just shake it off? Or do we complain? And do we question? And do we turn our back on God at that moment? Number one, you can get through a why moment if you realize maybe it's not about you. What happens after that? It says, after he shook off the snake, the people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. He went from a murderer to a god just real quick. Now, it doesn't say what Paul said there, but we've seen Paul before when people have called him a god. You know, he quickly tells him, no, that's not about God. It's not about me being a god. It's about God. And we see in verse 7, it says, there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. And he welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. You can tell a doctor, Dr. Luke wrote this, right? You know, he's got to give us the full thing. You know, not just he's sick, but he's got fever and he's got dysentery. And Paul went to see him, and after prayer and placed his hands on him and healed him. And when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. I mean, because Paul had that snake biting, and because it was about others, he was able to go and do miraculous things among those people. Now, here in the scripture, it never tells us that anybody got saved. It never tells us that anybody came to saving knowledge. But if we look at church history, there was a church that formed on the island of Malta after Paul left. Isn't that amazing? How God had a plan for some other people, but he had to take Paul through a shipwreck and a snake bite to get his word on that island. Maybe God's doing that to us sometimes. Maybe the why is partially about other people in our lives, that as we react correctly. I heard a pastor this week, in fact it was at that associational gathering, he was telling a story about sharing Christ. And he said one day he was in the elevator with a friend going to see another friend that was very sick in the hospital. Very sick in the hospital. You know, bad situation. He said as they got into that elevator, right before the door closed, this lady comes running in and kind of says, hold the elevator. And the guy said, I had to stick my hand in between the elevator. Aren't you scared when you do that sometimes? You know, you stick your hand in there and you go, I sure do hope this thing has one of those things that's going to open it back up. But he stuck his hand in there and he opened it back up. And she came up and she was a mail carrier. And she was carrying some mail to deliver in the hospital. And as the door closed, you know, this guy who just came to visit a sick friend, who said, you know, here's why I'm here. I'm here to visit a sick friend. All of a sudden, God just kind of tapped him on the shoulder. And he said, you need to witness to her. Isn't that amazing? In an elevator to go visit a friend, he suddenly finds out that his problem, his issue, his friend being sick, maybe it's not just about him. Maybe it's about this young woman that just got on the elevator. So he looked at her and he said, so you're a mail carrier? She said, yes. He said, so you deliver messages to people. She said, well, yeah, I guess that's one way to say it. He said, well, that's my job too. I deliver the message that God loves you. Would you like to hear about that today? And the lady, of course, she's stuck on the elevator. What do you do? She said, yes. And so he shared the gospel with her right there on the elevator. His friend that was with him, he said, after she got off, he looked at him and said, that is the cheesiest way I've ever heard of sharing the gospel. Are you a mail carrier? But he said, no, it doesn't matter. He said, I got on this elevator to visit a sick friend. But it turns out God had someone else set up and ready. And I just needed to be aware that it's not all about me. I asked him, I said, so did she get saved? You know, was it kind of like that? He said, what? No. He said, I shared the gospel. I gave her a track, and she said, thank you, and got off. He said, but you know what? He said, it's not about her getting saved. He said, that's God's business, the Holy Spirit's business. It's about me in the middle of a crazy time saying, I'm going to be obedient to God when God brings someone into my life. You know, another pastor that was there said, I got one cheesier than that. he said, I got on the elevator with a lady one time, and she was just a big evangelist. She just wanted to share God with everybody, and we were on that elevator, and all of a sudden it stopped on the second floor. It opened up. He said, a person came in, and she said, the person that got on the elevator with us looked at us and said, are you going up? And she said, as a matter of fact, we are. Let me tell you about it. I said, I got to get on elevators more. But let's come back to that thought. When we are in moments of why, maybe part of the answer is it's not about us. And we need to keep our eyes open to what God's doing around us. Let's keep going. In the next verse, it says, in verse number 10, it says, after he helped heal all the people and prayed for them, in verse 10 it says, they honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. The next thing I wrote down is, sometimes when we have that question of why, sometimes the answer is God saying, why don't you just wait and see what I can do? Why don't you just wait and see what I can do? Shipwreck, snake bit, but God said, listen, at the end of this, I'm going to supply all your needs. You're not even going to have to pay for it. I've got it set up for you, but you just have to get through this why moment to see what I've got set up in the end. When you're in the middle of it, I know it's hard, but maybe you need to just say to yourself, maybe God's saying to me, wait and watch what I can do. Sometimes I go to Dallas and I go through Navasota. Y'all ever do that? Take that back way. You know, it's some nice driving. You know, it's 65, 75 up and down hills like that. But I remember the first time I did it, and I got into Madisonville. And all of a sudden, my GPS, as I'm driving on this nice wide road, tells me I need to turn on this little two-lane, little bitty road going through Madisonville with just houses everywhere. It's like you're driving into a little neighborhood. And I remember thinking the first time I did that, why? You know, I'm on this highway. I know I'm heading towards 45. Why do you want me to turn right there? And you turn into this little neighborhood, and you just go just a little ways, and you turn on even a bigger road that kicks you out onto 45. And I just thought about that little road. You know, what if, you know, as I turn on that little road in Madisonville, I go, oh, this is wrong. You know, this can't be right. This doesn't feel like something. What I did, if I never realized that actually that little road is getting me to the big road I need to get to. I think that's the way it is in our life sometimes. You know, we stop on the little road. God's got us moving, and all of a sudden he said, whoa, turn on the little road. And we go, no, God. No, don't you know I got something I'm doing? I'm doing it for you. You know, I got momentum. I'm kicking it here. And he said, no, you need to turn on the little road. But I don't want to be on the little road. You know, you don't understand. If you turn on the little road and just wait, you're going to see me provide the very place you need to be. And sometimes that's it in our lives. We need to wait and see what God's going to do. It's not easy. It's not fun. But I think it's how Paul was able just to shake that snake off. He trusted God. He said, there must be some people around here. There must be something God's going to do in my life. And that's how we can do it too. So number two is to wait and see what God can do. If we move on down to verse number 14, what happens is there in that little town, there's a bigger ship that's also wintered there, heading towards Rome. God provided it. And they get on that, and they go to the area around Rome. And in verse number 14, it says, there in Rome, in that area of Rome, there we found some brothers and sisters, in verse 14, some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The brothers and the sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. Both those towns were 30 to 40 miles away from Rome. But when they heard Paul was coming to Rome, they made that 30 to 40 mile trip on a chariot, walking on a horse, on a camel. I don't know how they did it. But it wasn't an easy journey. They came, and it says, at the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When he got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. You know, what I see in this, you know, point number one was sometimes it's not about us. Point number two was sometimes we need to wait and just see what God's doing. Point number three is when we ask why, sometimes the answer is it's still not about us. Now, I'm not just repeating that, but I thought it was interesting that at that moment, all that Paul had done and gone through, here came a group of Christians to encourage him. I think back to one of Paul's letters to the Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 is a very familiar verse. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Have you ever just stopped and thought about that? That God, when you become a Christian, actually starts preparing good works for you to do. When we're talking on Wednesday night right now, we're talking about our spiritual gifts. And we studied this last Wednesday, just that God prepares works for us to do, and therefore he gives us the gifting to do those works. Now, I've always thought of that in an I form, right? You know, God has prepared good works for me to do, and God has prepared me for my good works that he's out there preparing. What if I am the good work that God has prepared for somebody else? You ever think about that? If God is preparing good works, could it possibly be that God takes me through a hard time so that someone else who's prepared to come and encourage me can do the very thing they were gifted to do? Well, that's a hard one. I like it better when it's about other people and I get to do things for other people. But in this thought, maybe the only reason I'm going through something is because I'm a prepared work, that someone else is going to come in and encourage me and grow in their faith and grow in their strength and grow in their understanding of God. When I say, "Why, God?" maybe I can just stop for a minute and go, "God, am I going through this so I can come to church, be open and honest, tell you it was a really hard day, and let myself be a work prepared for you to now encourage me?" That takes a lot of humility and humbleness, but I think it's a beautiful picture of how the Christian faith should work. When you have a why day, remember, it's not about you. Remember that God might be saying, "Just wait, I've got something." And then remember again, it might still not be about you. Maybe you can get through that why day. Let me kind of bring this to a close with the last one. In verse number 20, if we drop down there, Paul has just spent 3 days talking with some Jewish people that are in Rome. He hadn't gone to see Caesar yet. And he's sitting there and he's saying, you know, "Hey guys, y'all might have heard that I've had some issues and some problems." And the Jews said that all this had happened. In verse 19, in fact, it said the Jews back in Jerusalem objected, "So I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring my charge against my own people." And he said, "For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you, and it is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." Suddenly, Paul brings up this term, hope. Hope. In fact, if we turn on over to verse number 30, right at the end, it says, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness and without hindrance. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? After going through all these trials and tribulations, there was something in Paul that just wouldn't give up. And let me give you the one word for it: hope. Sometimes when we're in the middle of why moments, I think it's God just clearing the board and saying, "Here's what you need to focus on: your hope in me. Your hope in me." I'm ADD, in case y'all didn't know. I'm like a little Energizer bunny rabbit most of the time. You know, what's next? What's next? There's something shiny. But there's something with ADD people I found out is that we have something called hyperfocus. It's really, really cool. There are times when you would think, oh, Blake, you can't focus on anything. But God just kind of gets us in this zone where we're focused on one thing. Now we still can't focus on many things. You know, it's either we're focusing on everything or we're focusing on one thing. But when I am focusing on that, when I get hyper-focused, you can ask my wife, it's just crazy. I'll research. And I can't pay attention to bills. I can't pay attention to anything else because I am hyper-focused on that. I love it when I get in that mode because everything, the whole board is cleared, and I see the one thing I need to pay attention to. And I think sometimes when God brings these why moments, where we go, I can depend on myself, I can depend on money, I can depend on other things in my, I can depend on things I've set up. God said, no, I'm going to bring you to a moment where everything goes wrong. And the only thing you have to focus on is your hope in me. And I think that's why when Paul got to Rome, one of the first things he says, let's talk about hope. Let's talk about what Jesus did for the Israelites. Let come to my house, and with boldness, I'm going to tell you about the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Mom and Dad moved to Waller this week. Hey, Mom. That's so awesome. I get to see my mom every week, every day. Listen, I am who I am today because of my mama and my daddy. I am. I wouldn't be up here preaching. I wouldn't be the person I am, the husband I am, the father I am, except for my mom and my dad in so many ways. But I think about what my dad went through. We shared 3 or 4 weeks ago that one of the most powerful tools you have is your testimony, the story of what God did in your life. Part of my testimony is what God did in my dad's life. There was a point in his life where he owned a business, and that business failed completely. And he actually ended up owing people money from that business failing. And at the exact same time as that business failing, my dad, he was the only child of a divorced mama. He loved his mama, my granny. And at the exact time that this business is failing, his mom died of cancer. You know, and I look back on that time in my dad's life when he was right on the edge. And he was going, why, God? Why did you have my business fail? Why did you have my mom die? And here's what I know, that at that moment, with the board cleared of everything he thought he could trust, God rushed in there and said, you focus on the hope you have in me. From that moment on, I tell people, we went from, you know, 2 or 3 times a month at church to every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. I suddenly got into the youth ministry as a teenager and found out that God has a purpose and a plan and things that I could trust on and to count on. I went to camp ministry where I gave my life to Jesus Christ and to the ministry of Jesus Christ. And it all changed because in that moment, that why moment, and you can look at all of them, right? That God said to my dad, hey, it's not about you, Larry. It's about your son and your daughter and the people's lives that they're going to affect. Your sons, I got a brother too, forget about him. He said, you know, maybe in that moment, he said, it may feel like you're going to fall off the cliff, but hang on, because I've got something that's going to change the direction of your family. He said, hold on, because I need to clear it all, and I need you to focus on me. God, I don't know what you're going through today. Maybe you're in the middle of a why God moment, but in that middle, don't fall off the cliff. Don't curl up and just become a Christian in name only. But allow God to let you focus on Him and see the miracles He can do. Hey, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that it doesn't stop the why God days, right? It doesn't stop it. You're still going to have why God days, but you're going to be able to come through the other side holding on to the hand of your Father, and you're going to see the purpose and the plan in it. But if you never ask Jesus to come into you, to take that sin burden that you carry that has separated you from a holy God, and let Him put that on His shoulders, and let Him put His righteousness on you, and be indwelt by this Holy Spirit that's going to push you to grow as a Christian. If you've never made that first step of saying, Jesus, I confess my sins. I confess that You are the Lord and Savior, and that You died on a cross to pay for them, and You rose on the third day, defeating all sin and death and giving me the right to be called a child of God. If you've never done that, I want to give you that opportunity today. I'll be down front. And maybe today you're here and you just got some issues. You need someone to pray for you. We want to be a praying church. So listen, if you need someone to pray for you today, I'll be down front. Some of our deacons, some of our leaders in the church, they would love to pray with you. Maybe today you want to join our church and say, hey, I want to be a part of the family at Waller Baptist Church. During this time of reflection, during this time of decision, feel free to come down, and we would love for you to join us. I love you today. Let's sing.